Welcome to the 1955 Catalyst Study Group. We are on Chapter 21, Deny Thyself, Die Daily. How? Well, it starts everybody off with a meditation. He says, we should start with a thought that comes to us, not just everyday thoughts, because we let those come and we let them go, but a specific thought, a concrete thought. And what comes to him is, I and the Father are one. He's trying to explain there the difference between thinking a thought with the mind and receiving a thought as an impartation from the soul, or from God, from within. Now, he takes him through a little meditation there, and then he reminds everybody of the tree and the branches, and I am the vine. But there's a principle down here at the bottom of this page that says, stand still and let yourself be fed, maintained, sustained, directed by the recognition of this invisible force or activity or energy whose function it is to be the messenger, the Messiah, the Savior between God, the source, and me, the effect or the front. Now, that principle of standing still is really the answer to the question, how do you deny yourself? You stand still. But we'll get into that a little bit more as we move into the chapter. He says, every time he sees a form, a figure, an outline of an individual, whether it's human, animal, vegetable, or mineral, I must instantly be aware of the fact that where this form is the creative principle and sustaining activity. So, he's telling you that this is something that occupies his mind, his thoughts, as he's walking around. Whether he's looking at a person, an animal, vegetable, or mineral, you must instantly be aware of the invisible. You've got to look through it, and you have to develop your ability to look through it. So, a person who contemplates, a contemplative, is a person that's doing this pretty much all of the time. They don't look like they're doing much as they're walking around, but they're intensely active within, translating everything they see back into the invisible, which is the reality. Now, for most of us, we just pretty much coast, right? We don't think of truth. Maybe we think of it for a little bit in the morning when we wake up, perhaps a little bit before we go to bed at night. We may even sit down during the day. And study for an hour or so. But Joel's telling us that we need to learn how to pray without ceasing. He says, if you follow this faithfully, it may take several months before you begin to witness the actual fruitage of it. The only difficulty about it is the persistence that's needed in following it through. So, a lot of times he'll say these things and they sort of go over our head because we're seeing it as something we do in the morning for 5 or 10 minutes, something at night. Yet he's telling you this must be a constant activity. He talks all the time about nothing will happen unless there's an activity of truth in your consciousness. Well, this activity of truth is going on with him almost 24/7. I get the sense that he's always looking through the visible to the invisible. But he didn't start there. That's why he says seeing this and following this through can be difficult, because it takes a lot of work in the beginning to retrain your mind to stop coasting. Stop just looking at the beautiful mountains or the troubled parent on the TV screen who killed their child or whatever the latest thing is. There must come a time where we determine, I'm not going to coast anymore. I'm going to take charge of my inner being. And I know it's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to remind myself, and probably in the beginning I'll forget more than I'll remember, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to contemplate throughout the day. I'm going to translate that which I see back into the invisible. All right, so now he's going to get into the principle, deny thyself. He says it's an impossibility for you ever to demonstrate health or supply. At first, you may not believe that, but it's the truth. And we talked about that. We talked about what came to me in meditation, which was the presence needs to demonstrate the presence. We have no external demonstration to make anymore. The only demonstration we have is the presence of God. He has a chapter, I think, in Practicing the Presence called Demonstrate God, doesn't he? So it's an impossibility for you to demonstrate health or supply. And he's trying to lift everybody out of those metaphysical schools that they came from. First of all, I must recognize that I haven't any of these and never can hope to have, because they are qualities and activities of God. And when you realize that, the weight drops off of your shoulder, because you no longer have to demonstrate integrity, loyalty, fidelity, health, supply, companionship. All that goes out the window. And there's an important point here where he says, never will you go beyond the demonstration of Jesus Christ. What was that demonstration? I of myself am nothing. The Father within, he doeth the works. So you can expect never to go past that demonstration, at least not here on earth. So there'll never be a time when you of yourself are something. Which is kind of good, because that means all you have to do is rest back and let God be God. All that the Father has is mine by inheritance. Not by effort, not by labor, not by work, not by achievement, but by inheritance. You see, that was what my dream pointed out when I was told you don't have to work that hard and lifted up by the Christ. That was the same principle shown to me in a different way through a different channel. We get our good, our harmony, our peace, whatever demonstration we are to have, by inheritance. So this standing still principle must become a constant state of awareness, or a constant state of consciousness. Your consciousness must be developed to the place where it stands still in the middle of the storm. At this stage, it should be possible to renounce health and say, what do I want with health? God itself is the health. That's a denying of selfhood, personal self, personal sense. We do not want ill health, but we do not want good health either. We will not rise above the human picture, because the health we want is human health, or the human sense of health. So, to rise out of mortality means to stand still, and not recognize any health or supply that is personal, nor a personal body, nor a personal home, or personal children, or a personal spouse, or personal wisdom. So he says at this stage, we should be able to do that. Now the beginners can't. At the beginner's stage, they're not ready to do that. Because if we tell them, well, you've got to stop thinking in terms of health and supply, then, well, he says we take away from them the opportunity of getting healthy, and they have nothing to live for. So it's pretty kind of a grave responsibility. I know sometimes online, we in this class are advanced, and someone comes online and they're talking about supply and they need to get this and that, and we immediately tell them one of these principles, such as stand still. There's no such thing as personal supply. And they don't understand, and we actually set them back. Because at their stage of development, it's perfectly fine to apply these principles in order to demonstrate supply or demonstrate health. That's where they're at. They're perhaps in the first degree or beginning the second degree. And we have to allow them to do that. Talk to them in principles they can use. So we don't rob from them that stage of their development and actually set them back. There's no way they can digest this meat. They're still drinking milk. So we have to be a little bit careful and see where they're coming from when they ask a question before we answer. All right. So when we deny self, we say neither ill health nor good health. All good is of God. So it's the same with supply. We deny self. I have no use for supply. Supply has nothing to do with me. I can afford to forget my health or my supply. You cannot deny self by denying the evils of humanhood and hanging on to the good. That's not a denying self. That's a trying to improve the self. And that goes back into right thinking or self-improvement. Spiritual path is not a path of self-improvement. It is in the beginning when you come here with your problems and you want solutions. But as you progress, you find out it's not a path of self-improvement. It's a path of self-surrender. And so you must leave your nets. You must give up the desire for health, for supply, for goodness, for home, for companionship, and rest, or stand still, in the fact that God is a state of self-completeness, of self-fulfillment. You stand still and you witness the impersonal life as it manifests. As long as there is an I, a me, or a mine that is in any way attempting to achieve anything, accomplish, or get, well, then there is a selfhood apart from God. Now, this is not for beginners, this principle. This is for us, for those of us who have begun to see that the spiritual path is one of dying to self, spiritual suicide. So that that presence can demonstrate that presence, where we stand, even here on earth. So, it is possible to die daily, and it's possible to deny self without passing on. Again, we can die right now by choice. You have a choice. Or we can go on our merry way and coast, and let the world thought kill us later on. And stay in our humanhood. So we know what the goal is. To be a transparency, an instrument, a vessel for that presence. Alright, now he's going to say that true prayer is a contemplation. And elsewhere he says true prayer doesn't begin until you're done with your contemplation. So you have to read what you read and not take it as if it's written in stone. You have to be somewhat flexible, because it has to do with where he's standing on any particular day in consciousness, as well as the group he's speaking to. But we understand for our purposes that we begin with contemplation. Contemplation is contemplation of God and the things of God, the laws of God, activities of God. It's abiding in the secret place of the Most High, living, moving, and having your being in God consciousness, in infinity. Again, we who are on this path are intensely active within, contemplating throughout the day, praying without ceasing. Now, he goes off into his opinion about big business and the Boy Scouts and schools and stuff. I'm not going to get into that. In denying self, we glorify the self that we really are, God's self. God's self is our true being, and the measure of our selfhood is infinity. Well, that's a really beautiful poetic statement. It does us no good unless it's demonstrated through us, and we can't demonstrate it. If we learn the principle how to really trust this infinite invisible, how to keep the mind stayed on that invisible, and acknowledge it in all our ways by looking through the visible to that invisible, then in a moment ye think not, in a moment of rest in that invisible, it demonstrates itself. And we say, aha, I've seen it work. Now, he's going to tell you how to apply that in individual situations. If you take $5 from what you have, you will find yourself with $5 less. And that's true. We think we get a pull on our heartstrings to send $50 somewhere, and so we send it off, right? We mail it to a charity or some place we feel compelled to send it, and then we marvel at the end of the month when we're $50 to $100 short. I don't understand. I cast my bread on the waters, so on and so forth. Well, it's because you gave it out of what you have. And so you have $5 less. Unless you have already denied that the money is yours and have begun to see that God alone is the source. Now that's not a thinking thing. So many times, too many times, we take these principles and we understand them and we run them past our mind in a quick contemplation and we think it didn't work. No, it didn't work because you didn't practice the principles. The principle is to contemplate first. All that I have is thine, Father. It belongs to thee. It's yours. If you want to pour this money in that direction, go ahead. It's your money. And we contemplate the fact that God is the source of this. God is giving itself. And we contemplate it to the point where we can stand still. Have that inner experience of feeling what he calls God is on the scene. Feeling the presence. Feeling a transcendental quickening. Then when we give that $50, we really give it with the realization that it's God's. It's a realization, not just a thought. Then it multiplies into 12 baskets full left over at the end of the month. See, there's a difference. It's not enough to think these principles. That's why those 12 times a day are so important, because once we know how to make that contact, then each and every contemplation we have should result in that contact. That's how we apply the principle, and in no other way. Alright, so it goes back to the principle, to him that hath it shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. If you have the conscious realization, God is the source, and feel it with that inner click or release, then for you, God is the source, and it multiplies. You hath. But if you just think the thought and mail it off because your heart moves you that way, your emotions, you don't have. And that which you hath is taken. Now, he has a scripture here. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That scripture really was a powerful awakening for him. It really cemented something very beautiful for him. And I know that because he repeats it in this chapter alone 7 times. 7 times. That I counted. I wasn't looking real diligently, but there were 7 times that he says that principle. So, it's important to him, and it would behoove you and I, you and me, to take that principle into our meditation until we get an inner realization of it and a click or a release. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Very, very important principle. He got the secret to supply out of that, I think. Now start to spend as though it were God's and not yours, and then you'll find that as you spend it, you won't be left with less. You will have 12 baskets full left over. This is a principle. With this realization, when you share it is multiplied. Yes, okay. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is never a time when that which is God's becomes mine. That's another one he mentions 3 or 4 times. He says, we believe that at some point or other there is a transfer action when that which is God's becomes mine. That's the error. That is the error. He's very adamant about that. So there never is a time when that which is God's becomes mine. The only denial of the self is the denying that I can of myself be good, or that I can of myself be spiritual, or that I can of myself have power or health or supply. That's all the denying there is. That's what it means to die daily. Stop attempting to draw something to yourself. That's all there is to it. Well, yeah, that's all there is to it. Now look through your day. How many times do you think and believe, my wife, my husband, my dog, my cat, my job, my house, my car, my health, my toe, my arm, my stomach, my neighborhood, my country, my job, my school, my progress, my spiritual realization. It's almost continuous, isn't it? So when he says, the only denying of self is denying that of yourself you can have anything, that's the whole ball of wax. Yeah, that's all there is to it. But we're going to have to die daily for a while to reach that place where we live it. Or, better, to reach that place where we've died sufficiently so that it lives us, right? There must be truth entertained in your consciousness. And that's right, we have to pray without ceasing. Look through the visible to the invisible. And stand still. Be a witness, be a beholder. All of these things, he's pointing out what he does. He says, if you learn to do this, you will discover something does take over and live your life. If you don't, in a year or two or three, you'll be looking around and saying, how did they ever get that far? And the chances are, if you could find out, you'll find out that they took this lesson seriously and put it into practice religiously. The difficulty is in remembering to do it and in having the fortitude to stand by with it. That's the difficult part. Now, that's the second time he said that. We, you and I, really must take these principles, put them into practice, so that we become what he calls a contemplative, somebody walking around, making it a hourly practice to look through the visible and translate it back into the invisible, where we stand still and live as a beholder, as Christ liveth our life. That's what we're doing. Again, he says, there's no point of transfer between that which is in God and that which is in me. We need to meditate on this because it's an important principle. A contemplative is the finest thing in all the world to be, until one attains the next step, which is the union itself with God. A contemplative sees nothing in this world without at the same moment seeing behind this world, seeing the cause of it, the invisible spiritual activity which produced it. A contemplative would never look at a sunset without instantly realizing the spiritual nature of that which brought it into expression. So we must at all times be able to look through the world at the invisible. We must do that. If we live constantly in the contemplation of the invisible presence and power underlying everything, this would be the promised land. In other words, this would be heaven on earth. This is how to attain heaven here and now. This is the exact instruction if you're looking for heaven here and now. And that instruction is, live constantly in the contemplation of the invisible presence underlying everything. And then you'll find the kingdom of heaven in your midst. And that's what he mentioned before in another talk, either last week or the week before, where he was going over David's prayer. This is very important. This is what the man Joel Goldsmith is. He walks around constantly looking at the invisible so that he ends up in communion and union with it several times a day. And it lives through him. Therefore, when someone brings him a problem, he's already looking through to the invisible. He doesn't have to sit down and go through a process to meet the problem. He just stops, stands still, and looks into the invisible and sees the real source, the real power, the real presence. And when it hits that consciousness, it dissolves. He doesn't dissolve it. He's standing by. He's standing still. He's a witness. It hits that Christ consciousness, which is the invisible, the awareness of the invisible, and it melts. That's what he is, a walking one of those. And if we're going to follow in his footsteps, we have to become a walking one of those. This very place whereon we stand will be holy ground when we do that. And that's all that it takes to transform our lives. Yeah, that's all there is to it. But remember, he's been doing this at this point for, 16 plus 20, 23, 4, 5 years. But why not start now? And then where will you be in 24 or 5 years? It is God's demonstration, not my demonstration. Yes, the Christ must demonstrate the Christ. I think we've all learned now through this Kailua study series that we had some misperceptions, some misinterpretations. You and I aren't going to demonstrate anything. We will never be able to demonstrate anything. The best we can be is a transparency, where we look to the invisible, stand still, and are a witness as it demonstrates itself. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That is the tiny little secret in itself. Again, take that into your meditation this week. There must be a bombshell in there for him to mention that 7 or 8 times in this one chapter. You are denying yourself every time that you truthfully realize that I can of my own self do nothing. I don't mean to use it as a cliché and then say what a wonderful healing I had, but actually to mean it, visualize what it means, there's your contemplation, to know that we are but instruments and that it is this truth in consciousness that does the work. It's the truth in consciousness. Every time we have in consciousness this truth, that God is the only life, some dead person gets up, or near dead, or sick. Not if we try to restore life to them or health. Not if we try to bring supply to them. No, 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 we will never succeed in that direction, except as a mental demonstration. But to make it a perfect, beautiful, and eternal demonstration, it becomes necessary to actually and honestly know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what he's not saying, to know that the invisible is pouring itself forth as the substance of all form. If you know that by witnessing it, you don't know that by repeating it in your mind. You don't even know it by contemplating it. You know it by contemplating it enough to where you stand still and then witness it moving through you. That's how you know it aright. Yes, to know it aright is to know your own eternal life that works through you. So you can see the actual healing process at work as it takes place in them, and you'll know you had nothing to do with it. But the truth that you entertain in consciousness had everything to do with it. Now, it's not the truth that you think. That's not entertaining truth. It is the truth you receive as an impartation from consciousness, and then entertain that, or witness that. That is the truth that dissolves the error. Okay? It's the truth entertained in consciousness, not in mind. The truth entertained in consciousness that does the work. And so, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof will bring to you health and supply, but it won't bring your health or supply. It will bring God's health and God's supply, and that's the important thing to remember. We don't want my health. And he goes into his little book, Leave Your Nets, which I have over here and I love. It's going to become important to us. It is, at the present time, the least important of all the writings, judging by the sales. And everybody laughs. I don't know, perhaps I'm more serious than the average person. They've always accused me of being serious my entire life, even as a child. Don't you ever smile? But I don't see this as a place to laugh. He's telling them, Leave Your Nets has critical principles in it, which will help you to awaken and die completely. And he's telling them that that's the least important, judging by the sales. And I think that's a serious thing. He's telling you, look, it's in here, but nobody wants it. I don't see that as a place to laugh, but I don't know, I wasn't there. The principle of it is the most important principle we will ever be called upon to demonstrate, because we must give up my health, my supply, my home, my this, my everything, to demonstrate, to attain peace. So, you see, we must renounce the world. My wife, my husband, my children, my home, my health, my supply, my mind, my body. Only God can give you God's health and God's fortune, and then it becomes infinite. So deny thyself, deny. Lose the sense of bad health by losing the desire for good health. Now that's very important. Underline that, star that, take that into your contemplation. Lose, it sounds like one of those Zen Buddhist cones. It's beautiful, really. It's pregnant. Lose the sense of bad health by losing the desire for good health. God's health is sufficient, and right there is a beautiful contemplation. It's just wonderful. Yes, thy grace is my sufficiency, God's supply is my sufficiency. Thy grace is my sufficiency, thy wisdom, thy spirituality, thy healing power. All right. So we're getting the sense of how deep it goes to deny thyself, to die daily. It makes you a contemplative, looking into the invisible, 24/7, having communion and union, where you stand still as a witness, watching this Christ, this presence, this God, this eternal life, this invisible flesh flow through. Now, we don't want to repeat that by believing that there is a Mr. Jones or a Miss Smith or somebody else, a Mr. Goldsmith, who is a great healer, who has great healing power. Yes, we don't want to feel, well, when Joel Goldsmith was around, there was a lot more healings. He had something really special. No, we want to look at this and say, is there a principle available to me? And there is, but it's a principle of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's the seventh time he's mentioned it. God is that principle and is available wherever there is a recognition of it. So really, there must be a recognition that there is a principle which will heal. But it's not a principle I can use. It's not a principle you can use. It's not a principle anybody can use. It's a principle that practices itself. Because the principle is God. God is that principle, he says. So God must practice the principle. And he does. It does. As we reach that place in consciousness where we stand still and let God. Again and again, this I have seen, and I'm sure you have by now, that the Kailua Study Series is to center you down into that one who has their being in the conscious awareness of Christ. That one who looks through the visible to the invisible, consciously listens for 2 to 3 minutes, 12 times a day, becomes a transparency, and witnesses the hand of God working through them. That's what this whole series is about, to take people that were trying to practice principles into that place where the principle practices them. And so it is that every principle of God, every principle of healing is available in your consciousness. You can bring it through. It's within you. But it's not yours. So you must learn to wait upon the Lord 12 times a day until you receive an impartation. That's how you bring it through. You don't really bring it through. You let it come through. He says, now there's the blocking point. We say to ourselves, do I have enough understanding? Do I have enough spirituality? And the answer will always be the same. No. No. You never will have enough understanding. God's blessings belong to God. There's no point where it leaves God and enters you. Now see, that's the third time. There's no point of transference. It's still God's. Haven't you ever asked yourself, well, what will life be like when I deny self to the point where God's living my body? I'm certain I won't do some of the things I've been doing with this body. I'm certain God won't be doing those things. Probably God won't be eating those same things. What will it be like when God takes over the mind? When I'm no longer coasting? I'm no longer struggling to remember truth. Truth's being imparted to me on a continuous basis. What will that be like when I deny myself to the point where there is no self? Where it's so infinitesimal, so small, that that presence is demonstrating itself. What will it be like? Will these people drop away, these friends, this family? It's a quandary, isn't it? And you won't know until you do it. But I can tell you this, you will stand in heaven here and now. Right here, on good old planet Earth, you'll be standing in the kingdom of heaven. Consciously. Seeing it. Breathing it. Now, as you ponder this, really contemplate this, you are able to move to be more abiding with this idea and less of these extraneous thoughts come in. You really are able to sit for many, many minutes, sometimes for an hour, just contemplating these beauties of God. But even to do it for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes is a marvelous, marvelous thing if you remember that your work is not yet done. He drives us home almost every week, doesn't he? Or every day, if they were having these classes every day. You must have this contemplation in order to stand still. Find that stillness for 3 to 4 minutes. In order to receive truth or light or the presence or love or peace or God itself within. So then comes that period of just keeping the inner ear open while for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes you do no contemplating, no thinking. Let the invisible activity of the Spirit take over. This contemplating that we are doing, that we have done for an hour today, merely lifts our consciousness to a point of apprehension. It doesn't make our demonstration. It only lifts our thought to an atmosphere of receptivity. Now, how many times over the years have all of us opened an Infinite Way book, read a chapter, looked at the words diligently, pondered them, contemplated them, closed the book, said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," felt nothing, got up, went about our business as a human being? Because we didn't penetrate, we didn't go deep enough. It's because we didn't make the contact. And probably we didn't make the contact because we never had those 12 periods a day where we learned how to. But with the addition of that, that's why I felt that that was so important. With the addition of that, now we know what we are aiming for and what we must attain or enter, that stillness, at the end of each one of our contemplations. And so it'll still be perfectly fine to pick up an Infinite Way book, open it up, and read a chapter or a partial chapter until something hits us. But now we know, by repetitive hearing over and over in these chapters, that when we put the book aside and we contemplate what we've just read, a sentence, a paragraph, a chapter, we must not get up until we've gotten to that point of receptivity, until we've gotten to the point where we are silent for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, and then felt that activity, that contact, that presence, that quickening, that click, that release. Then it is finished. And so it lifts us into a consciousness where miracles can take place. But now the conscious thinking must stop. So to give this invisible presence and power the opportunity to take over and say, "I'm on the field." "You see that?" he asks. "Unless that it comes in, that invisible selfhood, that invisible presence and power, you have just remained on the mental level and not yet come to fruition." And that's why we didn't have the fruitage. Because all these years, we've read the books, we've pondered them, we've prayed, but we've remained on the mental level. If we want the fruitage where God demonstrates God, where the presence demonstrates itself, then we must go beyond the mind. So, the mind, remember this, if you remain on the mental level, the mind cannot demonstrate Christ, ever. Only Christ can demonstrate Christ. So contemplation and living the life of a contemplative, all of this is only a preparation. I have said this before. Many more metaphysical practitioners would have wonderful healings if they would remember. When they get through knowing the truth, they haven't given a treatment. That was only a preparation for the real treatment. The real treatment only begins when they stop knowing the truth. Only God can give a treatment. Man can't give a treatment, not a healing one. Only God can. Now that's important. I underline that whole thing because that's the secret of spiritual healing. Now remember, he did this for 8 months or more before he received his first impartation. But that was the secret for him. He learned that don't stop at this mental level where you've read the words and you've pondered them and thought about them and contemplated them. Don't stop there because no treatment's been given. You're still at the mental level and the mind can't demonstrate anything except duality. And if you stop there and have stopped there over the years, that's why you're still in duality. That's all the mind can demonstrate. But if you go beyond it by practicing these 12 times a day, then in each contemplation, you can sit down, stand still, feel that presence, make that contact. Now you have God, or Christ, and Christ can demonstrate Christ. God can heal. God can give a treatment. Or the Spirit makes intercession. The Spirit prays within you. You are a witness. You stand there as Spirit prays. You receive an impartation. These are all the same words, all different words to describe the same experience. But you must have this experience if you would have your life transformed from duality to more closer and closer to the image and likeness or the oneness with God. So the knowing of the truth that we do lifts us up above the appearance so that we can now rest, stand still as a witness to Christ. Now we can sit back and let the Word of God, which is quick and sharp and powerful, let the Word of God come through. Then is the work complete, and only then. Don't fool yourself that you're getting anywhere if you haven't completed the work. You start the work, God completes it. So that may take 1 minute, 2, 3, 5 minutes. I wouldn't wait longer than that, because if it hasn't come through, and if there isn't a good result, then try it again an hour or two later. If it doesn't come through, then wait and try it 2 or 3 hours later. Keep trying it every 2 or 3 hours until it does come through. But if you wait more than 2, 3, or 4 minutes, instead of being a spiritual awareness, it will deteriorate back into a mental awareness. And there again, you'll bar it instead of invite it. That's a very, very important paragraph. Those are specific instructions for anybody that wants to really do this. Okay, so you've read a little bit. You've found something that hits you in one of the paragraphs in Practicing the Presence, or the Art of Meditation, or Realization of Oneness. You set the book down. You close your eyes. You're contemplating. You get still. You reach that place of stillness where in the past you felt the presence. You rest there 1, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and nothing happens. Get up, go about your business. 2 or 3 hours later, do it again. Keep trying it every 2 or 3 hours until it does come through. Because if it doesn't come through, or if you wait 5 or 7 or 10 minutes, you'll start thinking again. And then it'll be on the mental level, and mental can only demonstrate duality. But if you do keep at it every 2 or 3 hours until it does come through, then God will demonstrate God through you. And that's very important. Those are specific instructions. So let us assume that for an hour we have been contemplating reality. Now we sit back and we say, Father, place your seal upon it. In other words, I'm really going to become nothing. And let this divine presence and power take over. Always remember this. God is not in these words that we're speaking or these thoughts that we're thinking. The words we speak in contemplation and meditation or treatment, knowing the truth, this is not an activity of God. This is an activity our activity of preparation so that God may enter. We're cleaning out the temple by knowing the truth. We're calming our minds, aren't we? We're making of ourselves a fit temple for God to abide, and that's what we're doing. But now must come the moment of silent rest. And in that experience of quiet, we will find our complete answer. Ah, he says, but hear this now. The love that is the all-good in your experience is the love that flows out from you. When does this love flow out from you? When we have prepared by contemplation and listened in the silence until we receive that love. That's when the love flows through. So we are the instruments through which God's love must flow to our families, friends, allies, and even to our enemies, those who hate us, persecute us, and use us, despitefully use us. Will it be our love flowing through? No. Well, it will if we're only on the mental level, won't it? And today it'll be love, and tomorrow it'll be hate, because that's the duality that mental can demonstrate. But if we go beyond that, as he showed us how, showed us the way, then it'll be God's love, won't it? It's God's love that we are permitting to flow through us, and it blesses us, and it blesses those upon whom it flows. So, you have no power to forgive anyone. You have no power to be benevolent. You can, through knowing this truth, open your consciousness and let the love of God flow through you. All right. Again, he says, you and I must be saints inside, but just be men and women outside. We must be saints inside so that truth and love be kept pure. We must be just ordinary human beings outside so that others may understand that we are but instruments through which and as which God functions in human consciousness. All right, now that's an important principle too. We don't want to appear to be saints. I don't wear a robe, I wear Levi's, and my Levi's have frays around the edges, and they're not manufactured ones. They're there because I wore them out working in the garden and stuff like that. So, I don't appear to be a saint. I appear to be just another person, which is what I am, nothing of myself. But is there a presence that flows through? Oh, you betcha. Not constantly, not always. But if I denied it, I'd be lying. It does flow through at times. And through this practice of 12 times a day listening and the contemplation for an hour here and there and then listening for 3 to 4 minutes, we are all becoming instruments through which God will demonstrate itself. It really will. All right, so that brings us to the end of this chapter. Can you see how denying yourself and dying daily, all of this ties into the other chapters, the way of life that he's laid down in this Kailua study series, where we become a transparency? Not only are we an invisible transparency through which God demonstrates God, but we look through the visible to the invisible pretty much at all times. And then we contact that, we make contact with it 12 or more times a day. We're kind of living in the invisible, aren't we? Which is the invisible kingdom here and now. And that's what we're learning to do. And we will do it. Because now that we know, well, we're no longer ignorant of the truth. We know the path. We know what needs to happen. We know what we must do. And it will haunt us if we don't. Now, I have noticed that over the last, counting this one, 4 talks, that nobody has made a single comment or had a question. Now, either that means that everybody is getting this 100%, or there's the feeling, well, I don't want to ask this, I should know this, or he'll think that or they'll think that. None of that's true. This is important. This is vital. This is, do you want to make your transformation on Earth now? Or do you want to wait till some other lifespan? Or in the so-called hereafter? If you are sitting down and having your 12 periods a day and you have begun to make contact, and you're having that experience of the click or the release, then that's going to grow stronger and it's going to grow closer and closer together until you become what Joel called a contemplative, living in union part of the time. You're going to be a transparency for God to demonstrate itself. And people will be seeking you out because the darkness always seeks the light for healing, for instruction, for truth. If you are not having an experience, if you are not making contact and having that experience, and you're just so sort of laying low in the background, I think you're robbing yourself. I don't know how it is for you, but if I had Joel here in the room, I would be saying, now Joel, what did you mean exactly by this? Tell me what this meant. When you said that God is infinite individual consciousness, what does that feel like? What is that experience of that? How did you realize that? You know, I'd be asking him a question. I have not had any questions, privately or publicly. And so I'm not sure where everybody is at. But if you are making that contact, then full speed ahead. That contact will eventually develop to the point where that comforter, that spirit of truth in you, will teach you all things. You won't need a book, you won't need a talk, you won't need anything. It will take you the rest of the way. If you aren't, you really should be asking questions. This is what I do, and it ends up like this. What am I doing wrong? Or what could I do differently? Or something. All right, there's approximately 19 more of these talks, and we will be done with this Kailua study series. Now, I don't know how long that takes. It's probably about 5 months from now, somewhere in that neighborhood. Thank you all for joining. Also, thank you all for your help in your meditations and prayers and being a witness as God demonstrated itself through you, where the appearance of an operation was where I was standing. I appreciate your help, your upliftment. Everything's on the up and up now, and I don't know, I love this Kailua study series, and I'm hoping that you guys are benefiting from it and growing. I hope that you're getting to the place where you're losing all desire to demonstrate supply or health, where you're not worried about your individual this or that, but where you're seeing the broader picture, that you are on earth so that God can demonstrate God through you, so that Christ can demonstrate Christ. It's not that big of a thing or that far off or that far-fetched, is it? It's something that each of us really can do, or rather, each of us really can witness. It gives me great joy to make these talks and to be a part of this with you. So thank you. Thank you for downloading it. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for practicing these principles. And Godspeed to you on your journey. God's peace. God's presence.